I know y'all expect me to talk right after the song finishes, but I got a minute. I'm looking at that clock back there. Plus, there's all these people to say hi to today. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Lighthouse Bible Church. And introduce yourselves to one another. But right now, we're about to enter into the worship service, and that means we're going to begin in prayer. And then we're going to have a singing ministry here this morning. And then we're going to have a teaching ministry. And then we'll release you to one another into the day. So that's what we have planned. Let's begin by entering into prayer together this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, you decided to send your precious only begotten Son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he became flesh. And that's what Christmas is all about. And then he went to the cross and died for us, and you took care of this our sin problem at the cross, and then he rose from the dead. You raised him up 3 days later out of that grave, and whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish but has eternal life. And the moment that somebody believes in your Son, you declare that person to be righteous forever in your eyes. And Father, we're just here to thank you for that, and also we understand that we need your word. It's our daily bread. And we're here to receive that. We're also here to be with one another and to praise you in song. And we just ask this morning for the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit and all of that. We also, Father, while we're talking to you, want to bring to you the cares of our hearts, the people that are struggling, the saints that are hurting at this time. Father, your love is overwhelming, and we know that you have the solution to every problem. And we're just coming to you and appealing to that this morning, your love and your power. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Please stand. I am so excited to be here. I'm going to share a real short story with you all, if Pastor don't mind. Last night when I left rehearsal, I stopped at the Cheesecake Factory. Yeah, to get a slice of cheesecake. But when I was turning, a car ran the light and was about to T-bone me. The car came this close, and I was just bracing for the impact, and I'm going to not cry, but God is so good. Okay, God, he loves us, and he's there when we need him. Not when we may call him, but when we need him. And we're peculiar people, so right now, if some of you looking at me wondering, why is she so emotional? Because I can't contain it. Jeremiah says sometimes it's like fire shut up in your bones, and I can't hold it. So praise God, everybody.
Felicia wants to keep on singing, don't you, girl? Yeah, I can tell. That'd be great. Good morning again, everybody. Thanks to our choir this morning for once again leading us in song service in a wonderful way. I got a couple of extra people here today, if you didn't notice, people coming on back home. So I want to say hi to Carly and Scott and Ryan and Megan and Lynn and Andy, and I'm missing people, but I don't care. I'm trying my best. But thanks for joining us in song today, Lynn and Carly, and we're looking forward to Wednesday night, where we'll have people up there again singing, and you'll be singing, and we'll have a night of hearing from God's word and then singing about it. It's called Lessons and Carols. It's in honor of our Savior. It's in honor of Christmas, and we hope you all join us. It's this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So be here, be square. By the way, it's not too late to invite family and friends and neighbors. We've got great invitations. They look like this. They're really colorful. They stand out, and please use these. Talk to your family, friends, relatives, people that may not come all the time, but on Christmas they want to be in a church with God's people. And so we want them to be with us. And so please invite those people that are on your heart. So we're looking forward to that. A couple of announcements as we get started this morning. We are every month letting you know about different missionary organizations that are out there preaching the gospel in our country and around the world. And this month we've been featuring a group called Chosen People Ministries. Rich Freeman is one of the people that works for them, and he's been here several times to preach. I'm sure a lot of you know him from that. He's the one who did the Christ in the Passover service one time for us, and last time he was here, he taught about the origins of the Arab-Israeli conflict. And but in any event, there, as you can probably tell from those subjects, And their mission is to serve and evangelize the Jewish people everywhere, and to disciple Jewish people, and then also to turn to the church and encourage us and train us and equip us to do the same. It's really powerful, actually, to read in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 how one of the functions of the church is to actually bring the Jewish people to jealousy. That the things that the prophets talked about that would be coming during the millennial reign are actually happening now in a spiritual, mysterious way in the church. And we're to bring that life to the Jewish people and bring them to jealousy about the fact that their God is alive and his name is Jesus Christ and he's their Lord and their Messiah. So we have that calling. And in this part of the world, we have got, I believe that South Florida, after New York City, is the most, I don't know how you put that, but densely populated Jewish. In other words, there's more Jewish people per capita here than anywhere else in the country, except New York City. Maybe anywhere else in the world besides New York City and Jerusalem. So fertile ground for preaching the gospel to Jewish people. Chosen People Ministries knows how to do it, and we're featuring them so you know about who they are. They serve 16 countries now around the globe. They have a lot of outreach programs, evangelism, discipleship, messianic centers and congregations, and then equipping local churches for Jewish evangelism, as well as great print and web publications and the benevolence work they do, especially in Israel. And they need our help, as all these missionary organizations do, to continue preaching the good news through Jesus the Messiah to Jewish people around the world. So please keep them in their prayer, in your prayers. Give financially if you can. Find out more about them. This is Rich Freeman and his wife Julia. So you probably recognize Rich and Julia. They've been here several times. Their website is www.chosenpeople.com. www.chosenpeople.com. They're a great organization. Really unique. You know, the thing about it is that as a preacher of the word, one of the things that it's what I have to wrestle with some evangelistic and missionary efforts, is the extent to which they're rich in the Word of God or not, you know. And so that's a real challenge for a pastor. I have no worries about Chosen People. They are rich in God's Word, and that makes them just a pleasure to feature for you. So www.chosenpeople.com. Again, I want to remind everybody that we're having our special Christmas service, Lessons and Carols, this Wednesday, December 23rd at 7 p.m. Please invite and bring family and friends. We have invitations for you to do that right here. In that regard, I want to welcome our guests this morning. We have several. Thank you for being here. We're here to proclaim Jesus Christ to the world, and you're part of that now. And we're glad you're here. If you're in the area, we do hope you come back. We hope that we're welcoming to you and that we can serve you and the things that you really need from a church family. So, and don't be a stranger. Speak up if you want about things. That goes for everybody here, by the way. We want to make sure that we are fulfilling the mission that we have, both to preach the word of God and to be a family that shows the love of Jesus Christ. So, by the way, guests this morning, we also have a guest book that you are welcome to sign if you'd like us to have your contact information so that we can reach out to you. We do that all the time with people. Sometimes it's just checking up on people because we're worried about you, but other times we heard something happen and we want to reach out to you. So we can do that much easier if we have your contact information in the form that you'd like us to contact you, whether it's email, text, and so forth. We do have a youth group. It's meeting this Monday at 6 o'clock. And by the way, next Monday, I'm making an executive decision here. Next Monday, what we want to do is have our older young people with us. In other words, the young Christians. Not necessarily, youth group has traditionally been a middle school and high school thing. But we really need to reach out to our young people that are older than that. You know, the people that are college age and young families. And those are really important, both for them and for our future. And so what I'd like to do is next Monday, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, if you're here and you're, you know, anybody, but especially between the ages of, say, 20 and 30, 19 and 30, 17 and 30, but that age group, we want to just, and here's the thing, I'm not going to preach at you, we just want to get together, we actually want to hear from you. We want to get your ideas about how we can become a church that is more welcoming and more able to invite and bring young people around and deal with the needs that they have, all right, that you have. So please, if you can join us, not this Monday, but next Monday at 6 o'clock, we're going to be doing that. We'll be sitting down and talking. So please come and join us if you can be here at that time. Also, we usually have on Thursday nights an informal Bible study where the family gets together and we all have an opportunity to discuss, and you can ask questions and make observations about different parts of the Word of God. Wonderful, wonderful thing. I know we've all gotten closer because of that. With all that buildup, because this Thursday is Christmas Eve and next Thursday is New Year's Eve, we're not going to be doing it for the next two Thursdays. But remember, we'll be right back in January, gathering together on Thursday nights, and we're in the Gospel of Matthew at this time. So that's a very relevant gospel for, well, one thing, for preaching to Jewish people, for another thing, of understanding the vision that Jesus has for his people. And then, of course, we know that it's through the cross and resurrection that that vision gets brought into reality in our lives. So it's a wonderful book, Gospel of Matthew, Thursday nights. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand at this time. We want to make sure you have one. Like I say all the time, if I didn't have my Bible here already, if people get it up there for me, I'd be raising my hand half the Sunday. So no shame in that. Only shame is in not having the Word of God in front of you when we're studying it together. So if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We got plenty of them. We want to make sure you have them. All right. Let's begin this morning with the teaching portion of the service. And the title of today's message is, I Just Don't Get It. That's the title. Have you ever said that to yourself lately? You know, about something in your life or someone in your life? I just don't get it. I just don't get him. I just don't get her. Perhaps it had to do with your marriage. Maybe that's what it was. I'm almost sure it did, if you're married. I just don't get it. It's either about her or him or about you. You know, why can't I? I mean, half the time we don't get ourselves, of course, but the other half of the time it's other people or this world, this crazy, crazy, crazy world that we're in. Or maybe it had to do with your children. I just don't get it anymore. Why are they like that? Why can't they see life the way I see it? I have so much to give them. Why don't they take it? I just don't get it. Or maybe it's children or job or business. Maybe it's your job and you look around at how things work, or maybe more like don't work. Or people that, you know, why don't they want to do their job? Or, you know, why don't I want to do my job? I just don't get it. Or immorality, right? All around us. I just went to see a Star Wars movie, by the way, Thursday night. Yeah, I know, lucky me, right? Well, it's interesting because it was in 3D. And the thing that I loved about the 3D was that whenever they had a big vision picture of the universe, the stars in 3D were just amazing, you know? And then I looked at my tie this morning, and I saw these stars, and it reminded me of the real winner of Star Wars, Jesus Christ. But in any event, I thought about that. I'm getting somewhere, Jack. Jack's my biggest critic back there. Thank you, Jack. I'm getting to it, all right? What was I on? Oh, immorality. Yeah. So no sooner is the Star Wars movie out than the you-know-what industry is starting to peddle off takes on that to try to entice people with immorality. Yeah, I saw that today too. Yeah, you can't avoid it. That's the thing. I just don't get it. Right. Look at that. I don't get it either. I don't get it. Or politics. Our politics lately. Right. Have you looked at our politics, our political, our civic culture today, lately, and said, I just don't get it? I have. Or how about our schools and universities? Have you done that lately? Have you seen what's going on in our universities these days? Crazy stuff. Stuff that's like the total contradiction to why they exist. I just don't get it. Or maybe it's money. Maybe you struggle with money and you look around and you know you're working hard and you got a good heart and you got people around you that they couldn't give a darn about God and they're just fine. I just don't get it. Or maybe it's drugs and alcohol. Everybody knows that drugs ruin your life. Everybody knows that too much alcohol will destroy you and your family. And yet people still do it. We still do it. I just don't get it. Or maybe it's the things people say. You hear something somebody says and you're like, why did they say that? I don't get it. But then again, if we're being honest, maybe that somebody is us. Maybe we said something lately, and then later on, you know how it is, comes back to you, and you're like, I just don't get me. Why did I say that again? After having had that conversation with myself a dozen times that I am not going to say that anymore. It doesn't lead anywhere. All it does is hurt me and them, and I'm not going to say it anymore. And then wouldn't you know, comes it out. That didn't come out right. It comes out. I just don't get it. You know? Maybe it's a friend. You don't get it. You don't get what's happening between you. You know, it feels like you're just one step off each other now. You used to be like right together, and now it's like a little off, and you don't get it. Or they do stuff that doesn't seem very friend-like. Or you do stuff that you know isn't being a friend. And you don't get it. I don't get it. Why is it like this? So somewhere I know, somehow lately, you probably said this. I just don't get it. Or something similar like, why can't this ever work the way it's supposed to? Or, I am at my wit's end about this. Or, why did that just do that? Are you guys doing that? Or did I do that? All right. I just don't get it. Here I am trying to preach. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Yeah, we're all at our wit's end about something in life. Or how about this one? Have you said this lately? What a hot mess. Now, well, many of you probably haven't. As a matter of fact, I started to write, what a mess. But did you know I'm cool? Yeah. So I started to write, what a mess. But I figured I'd throw in hot because apparently that's how the cool people say it these days. See, I would just say, what a mess. But I think the cool people these days, you can tell me later if I'm wrong, they say, what a hot mess. And that's, am I right about that? And that's supposed to be like a cool way of saying everything's all screwed up. It's a hot mess. You know, our Lord left us in this crazy world, didn't he? He did. And in these bodies of sin. Other people with their bodies of sin and their own sin problems and our own sin problems. And on top of that, when we're just through trying to keep our head above water with this crazy world and my sin problem and your sin problem, then on top of that, we know we also come up against the real enemies out there. They go by the names of the principalities and the powers. Quite simply, we're overmatched. This world is too much for us. It is. Our own sinfulness drives us to despair at times with the lack of progress, the same old failures, obsessions and fears and all that. We keep saying to ourselves, why do I keep doing that destructive thing? Why do I keep saying that hurtful thing? Why do I keep thinking those awful thoughts again and again and again? Why? Why do I put off doing the things that I think I should be doing? And sometimes we simply need to just cry out to God, or maybe just simply cry. Our problems really are too much for us. They're too much for us. And the thing is, even when we know the facts about who we are in Christ, still, daily living has this nasty way of throwing us for a loop. Doesn't it? Isn't that true? You know the facts about who you are in Christ. And yet, daily living, you know, from 9 to 10 in the morning tomorrow, or when that phone call comes, or when that person shows up, or when that thought hits your head again that you don't know what to do with, it has a nasty way of throwing us for a loop. No matter how rooted and grounded we are in the truth about who we are in Christ, we still got to face tomorrow. We have these holes still in our souls. You know that? I got them and you got them. We have holes in our souls, meaning that there's still things that I can't quite figure out. There's still things that I can't quite do the way I want to do. There's still people that I really don't get. There's still questions that I still have. My soul still has holes that needed to be filled, and we need help to fill them. We find out sooner or later that we just don't have what it takes to fill them ourselves. I mean, don't you wish, because I do, don't you wish your soul was as easy to arrange as your wardrobe? You know, that you could just, well, I know how to do my wardrobe. Well, I don't, but, you know, how do you do? You know, it's just this season and these colors and sizes and the shoes go down here, you know. Wouldn't it be great if that's where our souls, we could do that too? Whew, you know, you just sit at the kitchen table and go, whew, what was that, honey? I just arranged my soul. And it's good. Yeah, it's just not like that. Or even your exercise routine, right? Wouldn't that be great? Okay, not that you do it. That's why I started to say something else, but I just put the word arrange to try to make it real. Not that we do it, but we can arrange, certainly we can arrange our exercise routine. I know I'm supposed to do the bike. I'm supposed to do weight training. I'm supposed to eat well and all that stuff. I'm supposed to. So at least I can arrange it. But how about our soul? How about those vexing problems that keep showing up again? Wouldn't it be great if that was as easy to do as our exercise routine? That there was a place you could go that was, let's say, I'm dating myself now, but a gentleman's warehouse of the soul, where you just show up and every suit and every size and every color is just all there. Everything I need, every hole in my soul, I just go somewhere and I look on the rack and I put it on and there it is. No more hole in the soul. Or for the ladies, what not to wear if you had a show for your soul about what not to wear. Or if you had a plastic surgeon, but it wasn't for your, you know, what's, it was for your heart. Being delicate here, guys. Or if you had a professional trainer to take care of the deficiencies you had, not in your muscles, but in coping with life. You know? Well, your quads need some work, and your energy levels are low, and so here's the workout routine and a package of supplements that only cost you $1,000. Just do that and you'll be in shape. Wouldn't it be great if it was that simple for our heart, for our soul? That somebody could write out a quick little routine, a little arrangement, and we'd take it, and there we would be. You know, I know where to go to learn to play the piano. There are piano teachers. I know where to, not that I'm going to do any of this now, but I know where to go if I wanted to master carpentry or electrical work or plumbing. I know where to go for that. But here's the question. Where do I go to learn how to master the art of daily living? Where do I go? And if this sounds all familiar with you, you're in the right place today. Maybe you have a question like this. My kid always seems unhappy these days. You know, I don't really know if the right way to handle her is to be understanding and help her with her problems or to get tough with her. I really don't know. And I wish I could go someplace that was as easy as a professional trainer or Toonies and they could give me the prescription that would tell me what to do with my daughter or my son. I wish it was like that. You know? How about this? Everywhere I go these days, whether it's movies or television or anywhere, have you noticed it lately that there's all this end of the world stuff out there? Have you seen that lately? Every movie. I told you I was at Star Wars, and every, what do they call that thing? Hey, here's a preview. Preview, that's the word. Every preview almost was about something about the end of the world, the whole world blowing up, aliens coming in, and a lot of it's anti-Bible, and they're putting down the Bible at the same time. Yeah, I don't miss that. How do I cope with that? How do you cope with that? How do we possibly process things like the attacks in Paris or in San Bernardino? Oh, I mean, we can talk about it and we can be, oh, this and oh, that about policy. We sound wonderful. But how about down deep? How do you cope with that? How do you cope with the crucifixions and the massacres in Iraq and Syria of Christians? Oh, we can get tough and send in the military and all this and all that. But I'm talking about down deep. Or how about that gut feeling that I've had for a while now, that in my country, all around me, things are just becoming unhinged and unglued? How do we manage that daily now? I mean, we can figure it all out, but how do we wake up tomorrow when the newspaper hits and we read again about something that is just horrifying about our country now? How do we cope with that? What do we do with that? Where do we put that in our soul? And how do we work on it in our soul so that it doesn't get the better of us at the wrong time? Speaking of time, what do we do with our time? You know? How do you or I set our priorities for the day? How do I set priorities for me? That's enough work. But then how about for children that are under your care? How about if you're in a business and you have workers? You know, how do you set those priorities? How do you help yourself and others manage the time that they have? The Bible says you should do that because the days are evil. But how? How do you do that? What's the right way to deal with all of this technology that is careening into my life? And I don't know where it's coming from and who's making it. And I know they're smart and they're making it for sure, the money I mean. But how do I deal with it? How do I manage it? How do I manage it for my life, my kids' life, even the highways, for goodness sake? Oh my God, I ride a bike, and I almost every time when somebody almost hits me, it's because, I won't say the gender, is on the phone or texting, trying to drive. I was going through an intersection. I had the right of way. Bikes do anyway, by the way. You should know that. But then I'm seeing this person just not even stopping at the stop sign and about to hit me. And I'm like swerving out of the way on my bike. You know, God is there. And I just did a quick look. You know what I saw? I saw a phone where I should have seen a face. I'm like, no wonder she didn't see me. Oh, I gave away the gender, sorry. How do you deal with technology with your kids? With you? You know, listen, that stuff is not neutral. All right? It's not. It's either good or bad. The content. Not only the content, but the persuasiveness and the pervasiveness and the 2 o'clock in the morning and it's still going beep, boop, or whatever it does to say, you got another message, or why don't you play games with friends, or why don't you do this or do that, or meow. That has an effect. I mean, it's hard enough to process all the stuff we have to process, but we also have these nagging, crazy, delusional, 85 images a second technologies that make it really hard to even think. You see, our soul has got some trouble. It really, really does. Can anybody help me even start to make sense of it all? That's the question I have, and I think that's probably the question you have. Let me put it another way. I finally understand things about redemption, that I am bought by the blood of Christ, and justification, that I am seen as righteous in God's eyes, and I do understand love, no condemnation. And I'm thrilled, I really, really am, that I am being conformed to Christ. But I still have that question, which is, how do I deal with the next 24 hours? How do I do that? And if this all sounds familiar to anybody, I'm here to tell you, you came to the right place and you came at the right time. Because we're about to discover a treasure trove of riches designed by God for just this stuff. Your stuff, my stuff. The stuff that makes us scratch our head and makes our head spin. Our friend James, who we've been looking at in his letter, he talks about it. He talks about the treasure chest. Better yet, though, we're going to discover an entire book that is filled with priceless instructions about how to do, and how to manage in all those areas of life that sometimes just make us scream, I just don't get it. Please turn to James chapter 1, verse 5, and we'll get started. James chapter 1, verse 5. I just don't get it. And remember, it's your soul that's at stake. You might say, well, I thought my soul was saved. Yeah, well, watch that thinking. I'm going to tell you why. You've been saved, okay? You're going to be in heaven. You have eternal life, but your soul is in danger every day. Your soul, and what I mean by that is that it needs to be delivered out of the evils that are designed in this world to trap your soul and to hurt it and bring it down. And bring you down. It causes you to be depressed and fearful and useless on the battlefield. You see, you got to understand that your soul is still under attack. And it needs to be delivered by the Lord every day. All right. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I love the first line of chapter 5, verse 5, though. If any of you lacks wisdom. Ha! Are you kidding me? Of course we do. That's the whole point. If we had the wisdom that was needed, we wouldn't be scratching our head now, would we? We wouldn't be saying what we were saying all the time. This one, I just don't get it. We would get it if we had all the wisdom that we need. And so, of course, we don't. We don't. Every one of us lacks wisdom. If you think you don't, let me see. If you think that you don't lack wisdom, what does the Bible say about you? What? Oh, look at that. Proverbs 26, 12. Let's see what it says. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. There is more hope for a fool than for him. Yeah, if you don't think you need wisdom, you're the biggest fool of all. That's what the Bible says. Don't come get mad at me. That's what the Bible says. That's what the mind of Jesus Christ is thinking about this morning. No, we all lack wisdom. That's the problem here. I'm just not wise enough yet to know how to handle this stuff. That's why I scratch my head and my head spins and I say, I just don't get it. Because I'm not wise enough yet to handle all the things of life. I love this picture. Love that guy. See, because the thing is that I need this. This is what I really need. I need, come to think of it, and you do too, I think, my own personal wise man. I mean, this is Christmas time, right? The wise men, they weren't called wise men, but we'll call them what? You know, they come to see Jesus. They know he's the only real wise man, which is the funny part of calling them the wise man, but that's another story. But that's what I need. I need my own personal wise man. You know, go up to the mountaintop, ask him a question. But I wouldn't want him at the mountaintop. That's too hard. I like to come with me everywhere I go. That's the kind of wise man I would like. Come with me everywhere I go. Whenever I need sound advice about marriage or money or kids or terrorists or whatever, why, I could just, he'd be right there and I'd turn to him and he'd have the right answer and the right approach. Man, would my life be better then. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't yours be better if that was true? You know? But apparently the wise men these days are out of business. They just tell us to what? Google it. Yeah, right. You know, the fact is that there just don't seem to be many really wise men or women around anymore. In fact, the last really wise person I knew was my grandfather, I think. And he's been dead for 30 years. So I can't go to him anymore. And you want to know the really disturbing part? You ready for this? I'm finding that people are starting to expect me to be wise and help them with life. Oh, brother. It's becoming a desperate situation, you see, because there's a question. There's one question that comes out of this morning, and it's this. How do you get wisdom? How do you get wisdom to handle the technology that we have to deal with today? How do you get wisdom the next time you hear about a terrorist attack or the next problem that your kids show in their lives? How do you get wisdom at that time? How do you get wisdom to heal your marriage? How do you get it? When you have money problems, how do you get the wisdom to get yourself out of it? How do you get wisdom? You know, I don't know who to talk to anymore to get sound advice, but where can I find a trusted guide to the messy problems of life? And you know what would be great? It would be so great if, in addition to that being a wise person I could always go to, that whenever he or she told me something, they would make it short and sweet and memorable. Wouldn't that be great? So you just go to them and they give you a statement and it's short and it's sweet and it's memorable and you take it with you and it works and you're like, wow, this is so great. I wish I had somebody like that. You know, just a brief, witty, memorable line or two that'd stay with me. You know, like, here's a couple of them. Like, even a fool when he keeps silent is considered wise. Don't you love that? I'll say it again. Even a fool when he keeps silent is considered wise. I wonder how many problems that might solve in your life. Just keep silent. But you see, it's memorable when the fool thing comes in there. Something about the word fool, you know. How about this one, young guys? The seductive woman will turn you into a loaf of bread. Does that get the point across? You want to be a little loaf of bread where some lady just goes up there when she needs a slice, goes, it eats you up. I didn't say that, by the way. Oh, I just said it just now. Isn't that memorable? I mean, heck, you know your mom and your daddy could talk to you all day long about the evils of pornography and the evils of the wily women and the prostitution and all that. And you're like, wah, 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 wah. But then when the wise man comes and says, you know what's going to happen to you? Some lady someday is going to turn you into a loaf of bread. You might listen to that, won't you? I hope you do. Wouldn't that be great? Stuff like that would be great. Just short, sweet, to the point, memorable. That'd be just great. Don't you think? All right, so back to the question. How do you get wisdom? And I really want you to do a little work with me now. All right, I want you to start racking your brain about the answer to that. How do you get wisdom? I'm going to walk through some things that I was doing, you know. I mean, does wisdom come in a bottle? Can I go to Walmart? Can you? Yes, you need help. They don't have the greeters anymore. What happened to the greeters at Walmart? But anyway. All right, I go to Walmart, and I'm like, you look lost. I'm always lost in Walmart. Really. I mean, I get lost a lot of places, but especially Walmart. And if somebody came up to me, I'd say, what are you looking for, sir? Where's the wisdom aisle? That'd be great as a joke to try on them. Wouldn't that be fun? I go to Victoria's Secret and ask the same question. But where's the wisdom pile? Fine. Where do I go for that? Can I Google something and just have wisdom appear? A lot of you think so. Don't go so quickly over that question. I know that's what you do. You know how I know that's what you do? Because I do too sometimes. I'll go, let's see, you know. I know it's not anything, but who knows, maybe. It's like playing the lottery. I'll Google it. Maybe I'll get a good idea. Or is there like a Twitter feed out there? There's gazillions of Twitter feeds, right? But is there one where there's some guy and he's dressed in white and he's got a beard and he's living on a mountaintop and he'll just go, woo! When I Twitter him, he'll give me what exactly I need. How do you get wisdom? Ask the world that question and you'll get all kinds of answers. By the way, I did a little of that. Over the centuries, you know what people have done in the world? They've turned to these people called philosophers to try to give them the answer. As a matter of fact, the word philosophy, the actual word means love of wisdom in the Greek. And people turned to philosophers. So I did turn to our friend the internet to get a flavor of what the world thinks about where wisdom comes from and what it is. And boy, did I get confused. I remember that feeling now when I was in college and I had to study the philosophers. It came right back to me. And I thought I was just stupid and I didn't get it. You know? I'll show you what I mean. Plato. Now, I'm not quoting him. I'm kind of explaining a little bit from my take on Plato. According to Plato, wisdom is perfect inside us when we're born. And then we get corrupted. And there's a lot of people in the world that think that, you know. There have been revolutions fought in this world because they believe that. They thought that the children got it right and this horrible culture and whatever and the kings and the priests and the blah, blah, blah and capitalism and all that is ruining these perfectly wise little people. So don't go over that too quickly. A lot of people think that. Oh, if we just stayed innocent, then we'd be wise all the days of our lives. That's Plato. But then along comes Aristotle. All right? A lot of people say, you got Plato, you got Aristotle, and all of philosophy after that is just a footnote to one of those two guys. So these are pretty important guys in philosophy now. They ain't important to me a whit. I never pay attention to them, but except when I have to. But probably because I'm not wise or something. Aristotle, on the other hand, I want you to get this now. This is what happens in politics all the time, by the way. All right, people can say stuff that sounds good all day long. And you hear it, and it sounds good. You know? That's why we all got to be Bereans, by the way. You know what a Berean was in the Bible in Acts chapter 17? They said, well, that sounds good, but I ain't doing nothing until I check my word of God out to see whether that word of God agrees with what you just said. Right? Now, let's get this straight. I want to go back to this. Wisdom, Plato, well-respected guy. Wisdom's perfect inside us when we're born, and then we get corrupted. Aristotle, wisdom only comes with experience. Now, put those two together and see if you can make any sense of that. You get the contradiction there? Can I make this more clear? All right. In other words, one guy says you're born with a big, full glass of wisdom, and it spills out. But the other guy comes around and tells you, no, you're born with nothing, and you got to get it from out there. You know, it's like, well, great, guys, thanks a lot. I spent $20,000 on a college education, and I learned about Plato, and I learned about Aristotle, and all I found out was that they conflict with each other in every possible place, and I don't know nothing now. And then, oh, now we're ready for Socrates, who says the wisest person is the one who knows he has no wisdom. Thanks, world! You're really helping me out now. You wonder what, in all seriousness, you wonder why Europe is a dark place today? You want to know why? Because they threw out Jesus Christ and invited in Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates. That's why. And that's happening in our universities, too. Of course they're confused. Of course our kids are depressed. They don't know what they're coming or going. Am I descended from a monkey? Am I supposed to believe I got it all inside me and don't listen to anybody? Or am I supposed to believe I got nothing, I got to listen to everybody? Or do I believe that no matter what, I got nothing? You laugh, but it ain't no laughing. I laugh too at them, but I'm not laughing when I think about our kids trying to make sense of stuff like that. All right, so I don't think, the outcome of the exercise for me was that I don't think I can go anyway to the philosophers and get the answer. Mm-mm. Mixed up bag. So then, in desperation, he asked the question, what does God say in his word? Isn't that a good question to ask at this point? What's the question? How do you get wisdom? Take a peek again at where we've already been today, please. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, and we do, what? Let him ask of God. Ask God for it. Ask God for it. Because he gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to you. Didn't Jesus say that? Ask and you shall receive. Yeah. Ask of God. You know what that is? It's like a V8 moment. Of course. Why did I think of that? Why didn't Plato think of that, or Aristotle, or Socrates? Just ask God. All right. Yeah, you just ask for it. Ask God for it. After all, you know something? That's what the wisest man in the Old Testament did. His name was Solomon. He was the David's son. He took the throne after David. He was young, and he knew that there was this great kingdom that he had to run, and military and economics and all that stuff. And he was humble enough to know that he would be going around saying, I just don't get it, where he was. But he was smart enough to know that he needed help, and he knew where to get it. Please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. Solomon is the wisest man in the Old Testament. He was the son of David. He was the king of Israel. And we read about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. He's about to take the throne. His father has died, and Solomon is going to now be the new king. You know, for us it would be, you're about to take a new job, or you just became a dad, or you're hitting that midlife crisis, and you don't know what life is all about anymore again. You know what I'm saying? Or you're just at your wit's end about this crazy world or this crazy country. How am I ever going to manage being an American in 2016? All right, similar thing to what Solomon faced. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. In that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. I know what you're thinking. Man, it'd be so easy if God would just do that to me. If he would just show up and say, what do you need? Then I'd be cool, right? But you see, the wonder of being a Christian is that little teeny tiny word called believe. You know, and he did. Jesus already said it. It's in his word. He said, ask and you shall receive. So he did say it. Okay. He said it to you. Ask what I shall give you. Solomon said to God, you have dealt with my father David with great loving kindness and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, your promise to my father David is fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now a new Maserati and $1 billion, some beautiful women. See, what else do I need? Big army. And I know I'll be able to solve all the problems with that stuff. Thank you, Lord. But that's not what he asked for. Not at all. What did he ask for? Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can rule this great people of yours? He could have asked God for anything, but he asked for wisdom and knowledge. And my friends, I've got an honest question for you. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you went to God knowing you could ask him for anything, but you knew the most important thing that you could ask him for was wisdom and knowledge? Not money, and not even directly a solution to your problem, but rather wisdom and knowledge. The Bible says that that's more valuable than gold, but do you really believe that? You know, that's the problem. That's why, you know, that's why James said what he does, right? Remember he said, I think you're still there too, aren't you, in James chapter 1? No, oh, I had you turn. Don't go. Stay here. It's fine. Relax. But remember he said, you know, ask in faith. Ask in faith. Because it ain't going to do you any good. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to be really good with this analogy right now, because he talks about the waves, you know, bouncing around. And it's kind of like wisdom. It's kind of like on a helicopter coming down from heaven, you know, on those ropes that come down. And wisdom is a person, and it's trying to get into your boat. But what's happening? The boat's going. You see, the boat can't take anything right now. Why? Because it's wavering between faith and doubt. It's not going to know. It wouldn't do you any good. If God gave you the wisdom and you're like, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. You know, I can trust him, I can't trust him. I can trust him. He knows that the only way wisdom is going to work in your heart is when you just simply trust him. That's what he means about asking in faith, not doubting. All right? But ask. Ask and you shall receive. Well, let's continue reading. God said to Solomon, verse 11, because you had this in mind, because you knew you were humble and you knew that you didn't have what it takes in the department of wisdom in order to do the job you've been called to do, because you asked for that, and notice, and not for riches or wealth or honor. You didn't ask for any of those, God said to Solomon. You didn't ask for the life of those who hate you. You know what's kind of funny? David did. His daddy used to ask for the life of those who hated him, but Solomon didn't. Nor have you even asked for long life. You haven't asked for any of those things. You haven't asked for good health. You haven't asked for riches. You haven't asked for victory over your enemies. You haven't asked for any of that. You have asked me, the Lord, for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may rule my people. He had God's interest in his heart too, right? My people over whom I have made you king. Therefore, verse 12, wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you. You know, the Bible says that whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely and beyond repute, think on those things. I want you to think with me right now, and I want you to hear God saying those words to you. Picture it. You're on your knees somewhere or just on a walk, on a prayer walk, and you go to him and you ask. Ask and you shall receive. And you say, give me wisdom and knowledge, Lord. And then he says to you, wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you. And I got a secret for you. That's already true. You just don't know it yet. I told you this was like the Wizard of Oz. I told you that a couple of weeks ago. You know, we're flying around in this Oz world and these Oz bodies and, oh, if I could only get something from the wizard, oh, man, I'd be in good shape. When all along the whole problem was is you're sound asleep on your bed and you don't know that Auntie M is trying to wake you up. Only Auntie M is God. And all you got to do is click those ruby red slippers of faith and trust that God has already provided the answers that you need. And where do you think that he's provided them, by the way? On a mountaintop? No, right? Doesn't Paul say in the book of Romans, you don't got to go way up high to get Jesus Christ. You don't go to the bottom of the earth. He's near you, even near your heart. He's as near as the pages of the Bible. That's what you need to understand. You see, we've got it. See, here's the thing. The funny part of this is that, do you realize that Solomon didn't have the book that we have on wisdom? You know how I know that? Because he wrote it. That's how I know it. God said to him, because you had this in mind, you did not ask for riches, wealth or honor, or the life of those who hate you. You haven't even asked for a long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor besides. Doesn't Jesus Christ say, seek ye first his righteousness and all those other things will be given to you? He sure does. Solomon, you didn't ask for it because you asked for wisdom so you could honor me and take care of my people. I'm also. It's like the show, what was that show at the end? They have the big super duper stuff that keeps coming out. Showcase number 3. I don't remember anymore. I'm getting old. Yeah, that's it. Price is Right. You know, this is God's Price is Right for Solomon, because he took the thing of great, of beyond price, wisdom. Yes, in addition to wisdom and knowledge, the Lord says, I'm also going to give you riches. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you honor. And I'm going to give it to you in such a way that none of the kings before you has ever had, and none that come after you will ever have. So Solomon went away from where he was praying, from the tent of meeting to Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel. I want to see how that turned out, at least for a while. Please go to 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. Has God changed? Has God changed since when Solomon was king of Israel? No, I know you're trying to find 1 Kings. I get it. That's why I'm talking. No. That's right. That's right. And see, because he asks you the same thing. He said, tells you the same thing. He said, ask and you'll receive. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind, like the sand that is on the seashore. Imagine that. Imagine having wisdom like the sand of the seashore. Wisdom for your marriage. Wisdom for your children. Wisdom on the job. Wisdom as a citizen. All those things. As the sand of the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than all men. He was wiser than Ethan the Hezrahite, or Heman, or Calcol, or Darka, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs. Hint, hint. And his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall. By the way, God in his word, still talking about trees, isn't he? The tree of life, the oaks of righteousness. And he spoke of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. And men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Hey now, here he is. Didn't I just get through saying that what I really needed was a wise man? Here he is, isn't he? Doesn't the Bible say it's Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of everybody? That people came from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Finally, this is the guy I need. I'm so excited. A truly wise man. There's just one problem. He'd been dead for 3,000 years. So I can't go directly to Solomon. But I know now he was given great wisdom by God. And lucky for us, you see, something else I know, that God inspired Solomon with all that wisdom as the sand of the seashore to write a book on wisdom. Don't you want to go get it? You want to get that book? Here's a man, he's king, and his wisdom surpassed that of everybody else in the world. His wisdom is as the sands of the seashore. Not the sands of the hourglass.
As the sand in the hourglass, so are the days of our life.
That's the problem. Daily living. But the solution is a man that had wisdom as the sands of the seashore. And he wrote a book. Don't you want it? You don't? I'm leaving now. I'm sorry. I gotta leave now. Seriously. I just told you that a man wrote a book that can help you deal with your marriage and your children and drug abuse and ISIS and everything else that is in your daily life that you can't handle and you have holes in your soul about. And he wrote the book on it. You want it? Good. It's called Proverbs. It's called the Book of Proverbs. The wisest man in the Old Testament wrote a book. And that book is called the Book of Proverbs. And it's the wisdom that God gave him to rule a mighty nation. Heck, I have trouble ruling three people. Seriously. It's called a family, by the way. Right. Oh, I know women are all upset now. He's a sexist. He's talking about ruling his family. Well, let me tell you something, ladies. If you got a man who rules your family like Solomon ruled Israel, you are the luckiest woman in America. Let me just tell you that. Because that's what we need. We need wisdom. And we do need leadership. And we need wisdom in the leaders. That's what we need. You know, that's what we need for daily living. That's what we need in our schools. That's what we need in our universities, in our court system, in the White House, in the Senate, everywhere. We need leaders with wisdom that Solomon had because God gave Solomon his wisdom. And guess what? Solomon wrote a book on it. It's called the Book of Proverbs. Let's see how it starts. Please go the remaining moments this morning. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Proverbs 1:1. Now, I know you may be thinking, especially young people, that guy lived 3,000 years ago. He don't know nothing. He don't know about the internet. He don't know about pornography. He don't know about ISIS. He don't know about that stuff. Oh, yes, he does. Because in all of the heck, it was Daniel that said, wasn't it Daniel that said, knowledge will increase, travel will increase? And by the way, don't just be looking at Solomon when you think about that. Where did Solomon get his wisdom from? God. You think God don't know about ISIS? You think God doesn't know about what's going on in our school system? You think God doesn't know about the internet? Ha! He knows all about it. And he's given us everything. Here's where the leap of faith comes in. He's given us everything in his book to handle it. Right? To handle it. Because you see, as much as the stuff changes, you know what never changes? The word, but also the human heart. You see, the trouble is the human heart, the human soul, the flesh, the world, and the devil. And I'm telling you, that's been around. Those were around in Solomon's day. All right? And Solomon understood it wasn't the specifics that mattered. It wasn't having enough money to rule the kingdom or enough horses. It was what? Wisdom. And that never changes. That never changes. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, and to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. This is it. This is the stuff. This is what we need. Man, I'm so glad I opened this book and started to read it. Look at that. Look at this next one. To give prudence to the naive. To the youth, knowledge and discretion. That's definitely what they need. A wise man will what? Hear and increase in learning. That's right. Listen, now notice that statement. A wise man, not a fool. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. The truly wise are always going to hear from the Word of God. They're always increasing in their learning. Because they always face things. It's like Abraham Lincoln, you know. Before he was president, nobody ever faced the Civil War in America. But he did. And he said, you know what, I'm going to paraphrase now. I wish I could say it the way he said it because it was fantastic. But basically he says that the occasion has gotten worse and therefore we got to rise with the occasion. And that's us. You know, it has gotten worse out there. We got to rise above it through what never changes, God's word and his wisdom. But we need to hear it and we need to increase in learning. We don't need more money in the United States. We don't. We don't need more. We really don't. We don't need more military. I know you think we do. What we need is more wisdom in the United States. If you've read about our country and how ill-prepared we were in the past in terms of the things that the world thinks is important, but my God said, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And when we were a little itty-bitty country, God did amazing things because he worked through people where he gave wisdom to do those things. That's what we need in this country. We need wisdom. That's what you need in your house. You need wisdom. That's what we need in this church. We need wisdom. And in our country. That's what we need. A wise man will hear an increase in learning. Because you're never going to get or stay wise unless you keep hearing. You see, the core of wisdom is what's called fear of the Lord. That's the core of it. And what that means means a lot of things. But one of the things it means is that I submit to you, Lord. I humble myself before you. I don't go into my day or into my church saying, I know it all. I say, I need more wisdom from you. And I'm going to humble myself in reverence and fear and awe before you because you have it and I need it. A wise man will hear an increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Do you do that? Do you say to yourself when you realize you know there's a hole in your soul and you can't face something, it's too much for you, and you're scratching your head and you're saying, I just don't get it. What do you do after that? Do you huff and you puff and you blame somebody and blow their house down? No, right? That's what we do. All too often we just say, well, this will never change and it's somebody else's fault and blah, blah, blah. But what we really need to do is just increase in learning. What we really need to do is acquire more wise counsel. Find out what the Word of God has to say about it. Find out what Proverbs has to say about alcohol, about women, about money, about friends. Find out. Find out, men, what it takes to be a wise ruler wherever you rule, whether it's a house or a business or in the United States Senate. Find out what God has to say and keep going back to Him and hearing it. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. And notice verse 7. The fear of the Lord is where it all begins, the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh, and by the way, I got to tell you one other thing. That loaf of bread, that's in Proverbs too. You probably figured that out by now, right? I want to show it to you. Proverbs chapter 6. And we'll close. Maybe we'll close. Maybe not. I mean, you know, I almost had to walk out when y'all didn't want to see the book on wisdom. So maybe I just got to go a little extra to make sure you get the point, you know. Proverbs 6:20. My son, observe the commandment of your father. And do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. And when you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are a way of life. To keep you from the evil woman and from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Nor let her capture you with her eyelids. Here it is. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. I just think that was a very memorable way to put it. I wanted you to see it this morning. But remember, the whole point here is that God wants us to ask Him for wisdom. In fact, in Proverbs, just one more place this morning. Go to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Proverbs 2, 1. Here's the gist of it right here. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and he gives it generously, like James said. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And I want to tell you that we're going to be looking at this. I want you to take hold of your daily life. I want you to know you got issues and holes in your souls and you need to get wise. And the way to do it is to master what the book of Proverbs has to offer us about these things, about these kind of things, young people and discipline. Business, it's in Proverbs. Marriage is in Proverbs. Immorality, evil companions, prostitutes, money, alcohol and strong drink, the tongue and words. Isn't he right up to date, by the way? I know he lived 3,000 years ago, but he's right up to date because our problems haven't changed a bit. That's why he's up to date. The fool and friends, self-control, and an excellent wife. These things and more are given to us in the form of the wisdom of Solomon in the book of Proverbs. And we need it. We need it today more than ever. And over the next 6-8 weeks, give that to us as we gather together. And it will change the rest of your life. Or at least it will take off some of the weight from your shoulders. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for giving us Jesus Christ. We know actually the thing that makes this so doable for us is the fact that we know that Jesus Christ has already become for us wisdom. That in addition to what Solomon was given, we're given your son. And so that we have him who is the embodiment of the riches of wisdom and knowledge. And so we are so, so privileged and blessed. Help us to turn in the right direction, Father, when we face these problems of everyday life. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. All right, in this Christmas season where our hearts are generous and our wallets are wearing out, I nevertheless have to remind you of the fact that the giving of our hearts sometimes involves recognizing how God gives. And there are a couple of things about that. First of all, he gives to the needy. And second of all, he gives graciously. And I would just ask you to appeal to the Lord for wisdom, concerning about how he wants you to spend these days with a giving heart. Maybe it is to support this teaching ministry. Maybe it's to support chosen people ministries. Maybe it's to support an orphanage, or just an orphan, or a widow. Like James says, the true religion is going to be with widows and orphans and keeping yourself unstained by the world. Maybe there's somebody in your life that needs something, and you have it. And John says, if you got something that somebody needs and you don't need it, how about giving it to them? That's the spirit of Christmas. That God so loved the world that he gave the most precious thing he had for us. And so we honor that when we're allowing the Holy Spirit to tenderize our hearts in the area given, especially now because it's the time of year when I think people are really trying to understand how to come to terms with what it really means to be a giver at Christmas time. So what do you think you got to do? If you don't have wisdom about giving, what should you do? What? Ask. That's right. Just ask God. He's waiting you to ask. And he gives generously. All right. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you once again for your kindness. Thank you for the kindness that you've displayed throughout history. You displayed it to Adam and the woman. You displayed it to Noah and Moses. And you displayed it to Abraham. You displayed it to David and Solomon. And you displayed it to us. And it's on display most amazingly through the life, death, and resurrection of your son, beginning with his birth. So help us to spend some time this Christmas season, Father, just considering again to have that Jesus Christ birth begin anew in our hearts in terms of its meaning, in terms of who he is, in terms of why he came and what he did and where he is now. As we know, we're waiting for him to come back for us. And we also know that he's at your right hand as our King and our Lord and our he's the one who's intervening for us all the time, Father. So we just ask you to help us to plug into those realities in our lives and help us to understand that you know where we live. You know that we have these holes in our soul and you've given us wisdom. You've given it in an amazing way in the book of Proverbs. And all we got to do is ask in the form of turning there to what you've already written down for us. Help us to do it, though, Father. That's our toughest thing sometimes is to just take you at your word. Help us to take you at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty. Well, we got a special treat for you today. I told you we had some people back home. We got a guy who graced this platform for many years singing, and he's back today to sing at the end of this morning. So, Andy, thank you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first set free. My God, my Savior has, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Merry Christmas, everybody.